T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Why are so many college football fans and college sports fans overall obsessed with time travel? Quit trying to turn back the clock on the sport when the champagne cork has already been popped and you can't put it back on. Hello and welcome. We are on ESPN Upstate. Willie P in for Sturge along with Diesel. We are here at Frankie's New York Pizza on 101B the Parkway in Greenville. We are just catty corner from the Top Golf off of Pelham Road off I-85. Very, very easy to get to. Fantastic pizza specials, which we'll tell you about as we go throughout the evening. It is pizza night. I've declared it. Come by, get yourself a slice, and enjoy some great sports talk here with us on ESPN Upstate. Telephone number to call, 844-GSP-ESPN. 71307 is the text line. Text the word ESPN and be a part of the program. That way you can tweet me at Willie P. Style. Tweet the entire station at ESPN Upstate.
I'm going to tell you right now, a slice is not going to be enough. Oh. You ate half of a pie.
It did. I very much did, and I'm not ashamed.
In 40 minutes, you ate half of a pie. Half of a big pie.
And one slice during one of your live ads earlier, too.
Yeah, you ate the whole thing in under a minute.
I'm not ashamed about any of that. I'm not ashamed about any of that activity.
Displays of manhood happening right here.
What I am ashamed of is college football fans trying to turn back the clock. Look, and I'm not trying to subtweet my man Marky Ryan, because I love Mark, and Mark is a colleague, and I like him, and I like what he has to bring to the program, and I like his demeanor and things of that nature. But he's completely wrong about something. The genie is already out of the bottle, to use your words that you used to me during the break. The champagne cork has already been popped. Amateurism is a farce with regards to college football. And the transfer portal is a good thing. And the current way of doing things, or the current rules of engagement with regard to college athletics, are better now than they were then. Are rivalries less sacred now than they were 20 years ago? Maybe a little bit, but not to the point where they are situations that are different from the fans' perspective. Rivalries are for the fans. They are not for players. Players come up to me all the time and say, Will, I leave all that stuff in college. I leave all that stuff behind. Because at the end of the day, we have more in common with those other players than we do with the administrators who are gobbling up all the cash, all the deals, and an absurd amount when it comes to the percentage of what they bring in versus what the athletes get and deserve.
So we need to talk about how college football is so different now from the way it was in 1985, with the time that Mark Ryan wants us to go back to, the time that Marty McFly was able to go back to. So, one, a heck of a lot more money. Two, players can pretty much freely transfer wherever, whenever they want to. What else?
Let's see. There's obviously every game on television.
Okay.
Every game is basically able to be broadcast via a mobile device. And obviously the situations involving a particular team are probably a lot more accessible now than they were in the old days.
And even games, right, even games that are not considered marquee games are available to everyone, just about.
It to me is...
The greatest time for college football.
The way that this works right now is that it has never been more accessible of a time for college football, for people to play it, for people to consume it, and for people to do whatever it is that is most advantageous for their situation with regards to being a part of the sport. And also when it comes to college basketball, I would say that the money, which probably comes in a lot more for the basketball players, just based on the economics of the way the two pro sports work, the fact is, the whole one-and-done thing and the whole one-and-done rule, while that's farcical from the standpoint of actually forcing these kids to go to college, I also think that from that standpoint, those players, we found out by the college basketball corruption trials that there is a price on those guys. We found out the market value. And as Gary Parrish of ESPN, or excuse me, of CBSSports.com said on ESPN Radio yesterday, right after we went off the air, he said, there's no such thing now as amateurism because so much of this money has made this model outdated.
What the NCAA has is an outdated, you know, system that needs to be updated ASAP. And it's all flawed to its core because it's tied to the concept of amateurism. And as I've been saying and writing for years, to the point where I'm tired of hearing myself talk about it and tired of having to write about it, is that amateurism might have worked once upon a time, but it doesn't work anymore. And the reason is because these coaches are making too much money. These conferences are making too much money. Yes, television networks like the one I work for and the one you guys work mm-hmm. for
yeah,
are making
complacent.
Too much money. Yeah. Yes, well, everybody's getting rich except for the players who the product would not exist if not for them. And so you can try as hard as you want to, quote, clean up college basketball, and that's what all of these rules are designed to do. But ultimately, we know that these prospects are worth an immense amount of money to all sorts of different people.
That's Gary Parrish speaking on ESPN Radio on Spain and Company, the show that airs after we are done here on ESPN Upstate. He, of course, again, also hosts an ESPN Radio program in Memphis. So he has what I would consider to be one of the best barometers on these issues as anybody else does. Because in my mind, Diesel, the players finally recognize the depth of their power.
Sure.
And I'm not saying there's a situation where we're going to have to see a player walk out at some point or another, but they are realizing just how unfair this system is.
Well, the problem really is that they don't have anywhere else to go.
Correct.
Not really. I mean, we don't know what the XFL is going to be. The Alliance of American Football failed miserably. Arena football? Come on, give me a break.
No. And Europe is a viable option for some when
right.
it comes to basketball, but it's still not the kind of viable option that necessarily is something that helps us any. Because that's the real, real big part. And the problem that I think the NCAA has right now is, regardless or not, whether you believe it or not, there is going to be another option that affords itself to these players that allows them to make money off their name and likeness, that allows them to get fair market value for their services before they become professionals. And don't come to me with the fact that the value of a scholarship means anything. We know now that for the top bit of talent with regards to college football and college basketball, it means nothing. It is zero. It is just their ticket in the door. I know that it's a very, very fun thing for people to talk about how these guys will get a college degree minus any type of student loans that you and I had to pay when we were in college, and access to the best learning opportunities that are afforded to them and they probably wouldn't have had otherwise. Guess what? Nobody cares. They don't care. What do they care about? They care about making the league. And that's their ticket to the league right now.
There is only value in that for the top players who are not going into the league. It forces them to learn skills to get their education for later on.
And the other part of this that nobody really is talking about is that what if another option comes about, like the XFL, like basketball? And also, because of that, what happens when the top talent starts going elsewhere? Then you have a diluted product. Then you have college football going away. And that is when college football, as we know it, will cease to exist. People like Mark, people like others who have continued to say that this is all bad for college football. It's not bad for college football. It's good for college football. Paying the players will help get more talent in the coffers and keep it there longer. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. Let's go to Kevin, who is on the line. Kevin, you are on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, great show, great topic. And, you know, I'd like to hit on a few things. One is, you know, I've read that the average scholarship player at Clemson that has full ride, tuition, food, room and board is about $250,000 by the time he leaves after a 4 or 5 year stint, depending on if they redshirt or have injuries. That's a lot of money. Most people would have trouble earning that kind of money with a college degree over the same 5 year period.
But it's not a cash value, Kevin. That's the problem. It's not a cash value equivalent. That is the cash value equivalent. But it's not like they're getting $250,000 in cold hard cash that they can spend and use.
But they come out of there in black ink. Most students come out in red ink, and I know a lot of people had to work their way through and have part time jobs. I know 40-year-olds that are still paying tuition loans and Pell grants off this late in life. And when you're an athlete, you're not going to do that. Your earning process will begin right away the day you walk out of that school. And you're not going to have any debt incurred with that school. Now, you run the risk of injury. You have to sacrifice your time. You're not partying like everybody else. You're out there sweating and grinding. You're in weight room sessions. All your friends are out at the beach for summertime. You're in class. You know, there are sacrifices that have to be made for you to get that, but it's very lucrative when you don't have to pay for college. Any college you go to, even if it's Greenville Tech, it's going to be costly. And if you can avoid that cost because of a sport that you enjoy and play, man, what a great trade-off that is. You know, Kevin, we do realize a small percentage of these guys make the pros. And, you know, if they're banking on that, they're probably asking a lot of themselves more than the average athlete.
Kevin, I appreciate the phone call. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks for listening to ESPN Upstate. But I think that you've almost made my point for me, is that, yes, very few of them actually do go and make a living in the National Football League. Their earning potential is capped when they get to the National Football League. But here's the other part of it. There are some players, and we used another example of one of them earlier in the program when we were talking about Mitch Hyatt. Mitch Hyatt was an all-conference lineman for Clemson that went undrafted in the National Football League. Can you honestly tell me that his earning potential wouldn't have been better at Clemson when he was getting all these all-conference awards? Couldn't he have made some money while he was at Clemson instead of having to basically play on a tryout deal in the National Football League, hoping to earn a spot, and all he has to fall back on is this Clemson degree? I know that you might find that has some value for him, but I guarantee you one thing. If you told Mitch Hyatt right now, would he rather have $250,000 in cash right now or the ability to possibly play in the National Football League? I think he'd take the $250,000 in cash.
Well, there needs to be a way for these players, since we do look at scholarships as a contract with a cash value.
But it's not a cash.
I know that, but listen to what I'm saying before you shut it down. If you look at a single year contract as it has a value, why not give the player the option to cash out of that value? Let's say, for example, you've got a player who doesn't spend their entire allotment on food. Well, guess what? You can cash out the extra value on that food. I remember being a student in college where I paid an X dollar amount into my food budget, and at the end of the year, I had to spend it. Well, if you spend it or lose it. These guys, what if they could cash that value back out?
I mean, the issue that I come about with, again, is that these players basically get everything that they get that basically allows them to attend college, and that's it. How many of you out there actually just attended college, and that was it? You had no discretionary income whatsoever. Well, I mean, he has no discretion. I talked to athletes when I was in college, and again, this is back before they had the cost of living stipend that was brought about, which gives them the room and the board. But basically, I had multiple players come up to me and say, you know what, if I wanted to take my girlfriend out on a date, I couldn't even afford a movie ticket. And they have no way to make any money outside of that because they're in practice, or they're in class, or they're on the road. I mean, that's the part of it that people aren't understanding, is that there is a value attached to these players because of what they make for the university. There's no reason, other than because of the way the market looks, that Dabo Swinney deserves $9.54 million and that these players can't get some slice of that. Pardon the pun as we sit here at Frankie's New York Pizza. There's no reason you can tell me that the players do not perform that slice of that. And Gary Parrish, this is the second part of his comments that I think rang more truly, is that the particular vehicle in which Dabo Swinney can make $9.5 million would not exist without the players. Here's what Gary had to say.
If you are going to continue to say, yes, we know these prospects are worth, these players are worth all of this money to all of these people, but they cannot take anything legally, well, then they're always going to take things illegally. If you want to clean up college basketball or high-profile college athletics in general, you have to make the rule book smaller, not bigger. You have to start to allow student-athletes to accept fair market value, because until you allow them to accept fair market value, the black market will exist. And I don't care what kind of certification process you put in place for agents, it's not going to stop any of the stuff that we've been reading about the past 2 years from happening.
So what you're saying, Will, is that a scholarship has intrinsically no value once a player, if they don't get into the league, the scholarship means nothing and their education means nothing. Is that, can I sum up what you're trying to say there? I think Kevin, one aspect of what Kevin's point that he didn't really touch on is that scholarships do provide these guys the opportunity to better themselves if football doesn't work. Now, if these players, which a lot of them do, but a lot of them don't, if there are certain players who squander that opportunity, that's on them. That's a mark of personal responsibility that I think a lot of these guys don't have. But I wouldn't say that a player leaves college, doesn't get drafted into the NFL, and now has nothing.
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. The guy who said it best for me is Cardale Jones, the old Ohio State quarterback, who said, "We didn't come here to play school. We came here to play football."
Well, then that sounds like an opportunity squandered.
That is definitely an opinion to have. But I also would say that, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm not saying all the players wouldn't be there if it wasn't for football. But for those who wouldn't, it's a situation where they don't value that degree in the way that you and I value ours. And I understand that that might be a personal prerogative, but it's also something where I look at it and I say, look, why does Dabo Swinney make $9.54 million and they don't get a cent other than the scholarship?
I want you to argue your perspective of this side of the point. When you talk about fair market value or fair value for their services, you're really talking about fair value for the top 10% of college athletics athletes' services.
Yes, but I also think the others, again, in the non-revenue sports, also deserve a piece of the pie as well.
Sure, but where is it going to come from?
It doesn't necessarily have to come from the schools. It can come from independent people, which I've argued on this program should happen. They should be able to have the ability to make money off their name and likeness as independent contractors.
So what about a third-string defensive lineman at Clemson? Are they going to have value? Are they going to be able to make any money off of their name and likeness of their autographs? No, there's really not any value if you're not one of the top, you know, top 1% of college athletes.
But that's the way the world works anyway. Why does who said that life is fair and life is equal and everything is equal and this is all, you know, everything is roses and rainbows? When you are better at something than somebody else, you are exposed to more opportunities.
Okay, so there's two different levels of equality here. The level of equality that we have now is that nobody gets anything.
Right.
Right? The level of equality or the level of fairness that you're talking about is only 1% get something. How do you even that money? Because it's not as if the third-string defensive lineman doesn't put in the same amount of effort as the first-string defensive lineman, and they don't deserve something for their efforts.
Because the top 1% got a gift from God to be able to catch a football, and they should be able to make money off that ability. 844-GSP-ESPN. Let's go to Stan, who is on hold. Stan, real quick, before we hit a break here on ESPN Upstate. How are you, pal?
Guys, how you doing today?
What's up?
I've worked quite a few jobs in my life. I've worked on a salary. I've worked where I was paid by the yard for installation, and I've worked as a bartender where I got a small salary and tips. Benefits were better than others on jobs. But your job, no matter how good your benefits are, who works for no money? Who wants to go around broke all the time? I don't claim to have the best answer for the situation, but having these kids go around broke all the time is just a situation where you're begging for trouble to happen, because it's always going to. These are young kids. They don't want to just live. They want to have a life.
Exactly.
But I appreciate it, guys. I'll sit back and listen to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Stan. I know we have Brock on hold. We have to take time out, but we'll get back to you and continue this discussion at 844-GSP-ESPN. It's not bad for college football to have these kids have a little pocket money. I mean, honestly, like I ask the question all the time, where is the harm? Where is the harm in having these kids be able to make money off of their fair market value and off their name and likeness? We're at Frankie's. I know you don't want to know why we're heated, because the pizza's gone. We need some more pizza up in
here.
Out. Frankie's New York Pizza, 101B the Parkway. Come by, enjoy a slice, come see Diesel and me, and come enjoy us on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back inside Frankie's New York Pizza, 101B the Parkway in Greenville, east part of Greenville off I-85 off Pelham Road. Come by and see us now. We're here till 7, but if you come by before 9 o'clock tonight, you can get the best pizza deal in the upstate. 2 16-inch cheese pizzas from Frankie's New York Pizza, and I can tell you right now from personal experience, you don't need any toppings. As long as you have a cheese pizza from this place, it will taste better than any pizza that you can get in the upstate. 2 16-inch cheese pizzas, just $20. Or if you want a little variety, a little slice of life for you, 1 16-inch cheese pizza, one order of wings, $16. You want a little bit more wings as well, it'll be $19.75. Fantastic ability for you to come here. 864-757-1533. Frankie's New York Pizza. Also Philly cheesesteaks, calzones, strombolis, pasta, wings, garlic knots, anything you possibly want from your Italian meal perspective here at Frankie's New York Pizza. 844-GSP-ESPN. I know we have Jeremy on hold. I want to at least make a point before we get back into the discussion. Look, I'm not a bad guy. I understand the value of a scholarship. I'm not trying to say that I don't. But I'm trying to say that this particular vehicle that gives these guys the scholarship is not fairly compensated. And I understand that disproportionate to the way that this sport has been adjudicated over the course of time, it is put about fairness. But where in life does that get replicated? It doesn't. Like, in the National Football League, there's a reason why Dak Prescott's arguing for $40 million, allegedly, and the guy who's the taxi squad lineman is lucky to cut a check every 2 weeks. I mean, that's the reality of the world. That's the real world. That's the world we live in. And the fact that the money is so disproportionately centered on the administrators and the players get nothing, that to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
I agree. I mean, I can't argue much of what you said as if it has no merit and no value. But, again, you're opening up a Pandora's box. You're squeezing the toothpaste out of the tube. And if you can't – what's going to happen when – you've got a starting lineman who still can't take his girlfriend out to dinner because he has no money, but his running back is rolling in cash.
I think that the money the
what is he going to do?
Is he now toothpaste is already out of the tube?
Is he now going to have to go hit up his starting running back and say, "Hey, bro, I need some money to take my girlfriend out to lunch"?
And what's wrong with that?
And I'm the one blocking for you. What happens then?
What happens in the National Football League? You see the quarterback take his entire offensive line out to dinner. Why can't Trevor Lawrence take his entire offensive line out to dinner? Take them all out to the Esso Club and get them dinner, or take them out to Western Sizzlin' and get them all steak. You know, who knows? 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, or take him here to Frankie's. Why can't Trevor Lawrence come out here and get the pizza deal and make that happen? Why not? Let's go to Jeremy, who's been holding through the break. And, Jeremy, you're on ESPN Upstate, man. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are well.
Doing great.
Well, so this whole thing, it's like just because you got to pay for college, like these people taking on the student debts and things like that, and it feels almost political, but – You know, guys join the military to pay for college, and I'm not comparing football players to soldiers, but there are ways to pay for college. But when you have an elite athlete like some of these guys that might go pro or close to going pro, and from what I understand, they can't even get jobs on the side.
Correct.
So they're
very
just,
correct.
They're just broke. And I don't see why a man can't use his likeness however he wants to and sell it to the video games or whatever, or sell T-shirts or his autograph, and at least be able to make – just let him make money on the side. And I'm sure there'll be something going on shady there, but at least he can make some money.
Exactly. Appreciate the call, Jeremy.
That's kind of
where I'm at. And again, I always like to use the example of the golf team, because Clemson and South Carolina both put out very, very good golf teams. Who wouldn't want a scholarship golfer at their country club, either giving lessons or, you know, doing like a longest drive type competition, doing an appearance there and getting a little cash for it? Like, I get there are monetary values that can be placed, standardized on these particular services that they can provide. And like you said, they can't get jobs.
Well, why not focus heavily on the pay for play situation? Why not keep it fair and equitable across the board, as every football player gets X value, every basketball player gets X value from the university? I mean, the universities are the ones holding all the cards. They're the ones holding all the money. And if you open it up to the wild, wild west, where literally anyone can pay a player to come and do an appearance, then you start distracting the players away from what their focus should be, which is playing sports.
I'm not saying that that is an incorrect assessment. But what I am saying is that if you take the school out of it, then that takes away the scenario that everybody seems to be afraid of, and that, oh, only the places that can, quote, pay the most are going to get all the best players. Well, pardon me for insinuating something nefarious, but doesn't that already happen anyway? Doesn't the best talent already go to the best schools anyway? Like, that's the way the world works now. That's the way the college football works now. Like, and again, the people who are saying things like, oh, we want to return back, we want to get rid of the transfer portal, we want to do this. Once these changes have been made, folks, it's over, okay? Once the coaches surpass the $6, $7, $8, $9 million realm, and Jimbo Fisher makes $7.5 million a year over 10 years, I'm sorry, that to me is just an absurd amount of money that is disproportionately going to the people who are not necessarily a part of the actual success that happens on the field. In my mind. That's just the way that I look at it. Dabo Swinney can't win a national championship and put two golden scepters in his lobby if it's not for Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. And the fact that they get nothing above and beyond their $200,000 scholarship or whatever it costs for their time in their 3 years at Clemson, I find that to be a bit unjust, I would say.
Well, a football player can take their girlfriend out to dinner. They can take him out to the mess hall where everybody else.
I don't think Trevor Lawrence can take his girlfriend to the training table. I'm pretty sure that's probably not something that he can do. Let's go to Lane, 844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 on the text line. Let's go to Lane. Hello, Lane. How are you? You're on ESPN Upstate.
Hey, buddy. How you doing tonight?
Doing well, sir. Yourself?
Doing all right. Hey, listen, one thing you ain't considering when you go to start playing players, and especially letting them sell their likeness, you could forget it. Ain't nobody else going to compete with Oregon. You let Nike start paying what they want, and they offering $200,000 per player. You opening up a can of worms that's going to be uncontrollable.
I'm not saying that I don't want it standardized and regulated. I'm not saying that at all.
Well, you just said that you wanted regulations taken away from sports. You can't take regulation away, take it away, and put it right back on.
You can regulate the amount of money that's paid out to these players. I think you can totally do that.
But the thing is, if it's coming from outside sources, listen, we just heard from a Clemson coach that they had a way of these paying players already, and now you're giving them a legal avenue to do it? Come on. The fat cats are going to have everybody.
The fat cats already have everybody, Lane. Clemson's going to have a number one recruiting class in the country right now. And now, you think that has anything to do with fairness? It has to do with the fact that Dabo Swinney is making $9.5 million and taking private planes all across the country to get the best players to come to Clemson, to little old Clemson, South Carolina.
Oh, I agree. And so we know it's already going on, but how much more is it going to increase when you give avenues that are uncontrollable? I just think it's a bad deal. And
appreciate the call, Lane.
To be said about amateur athletics and the price of a college education. The problem is nobody's valuing what an education is.
Yeah, it's a real amateur. I appreciate the call, Lane. It's a real amateur sport. Yeah, I don't know any amateur sport that pays its coaches $9 million a year.
Well,
amateur. That's not an amateur. That's a professional league. I hate to break it to you. I don't mean to be disrespectful. $9 million. That's not jerking around money. That's professional money.
Well, to Lane's point, what's to stop Nike from saying, "All right, well, per the school, we can only pay you $200 to do this 30-second commercial, but we're going to still throw you another $5,000 on the side."
What prevents them from doing it now?
Well, but the point is, if you embrace the model that you want now, it doesn't mean that it's automatically going to clean everything up. It's just going to give another and different opportunity.
I don't need it to be clean. Quite honestly, I don't need it to be clean. It's dirty out anyway. I'm not asking for it to be clean. I'm asking for it to be fair to these student athletes. Texter from the 203 says, "It makes me mad that the FBI has to get involved when it comes to players taking money. Absolutely ridiculous that the FBI is wasting our tax payments." I do believe that, again, the going into the stuff that we were talking about with the players getting paid in college basketball and that whole particular situation, you know, it all ends up coming back on the school. That's the other thing, too, is that the only time it really ever comes on the player is when the player becomes ineligible. But guess what? I don't see people angry at the fact that Zion Williamson went number one overall, and yet there was a deal potentially on the table for him to go to Kansas and have his father get a job and have some money on the table underneath. I mean, that's again, it's all dirty anyway. Like you're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube. You're not putting the toothpaste back in the tube. It's already on it's already all over your sink. It's already all over the sink. We have to move on, unfortunately. But it was a good discussion, spirited discussion. 844-GSP-ESPN. We will take some more reaction to what's going on from the South Carolina and Clemson perspective. We'll hear from Will Muschamp, Dabo Swinney. Colin Taylor will join us about 40 minutes from now. And I'll also tell you which Gamecocks and Clemson freshmen will have the biggest impact during the 2019 season. As we come back, we are live at Frankie's New York Pizza, 101B The Parkway in Greenville. And you're listening to ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app.
Look who's a big deal now. Got his name on the promo.
It's nice. It's very nice. I guess you could say it's nice. We are coming to you live from Frankie's New York Pizza in Greenville. Willie P and Diesel here on Tuesday. Great specials here from Frankie's. 2 16-inch cheese pizzas, $20. Can't beat it. Dine in or carry out, of course, on the way. Of course, we'll continue to bring you some of those great deals on pizza and also the best sports talk in the upstate here on ESPN Upstate. South Carolina off today. Clemson had a controlled scrimmage today, basically situational scrimmage type situation where they were on the field at Death Valley doing some first and second down work and third down work. South Carolina had a full scrimmage Monday, and then they will have another one on Saturday. And Will Muschamp answered a question in his press conference Monday that was similar to one that I asked Dabo Swinney, and the question asked was, you know, how do you go about evaluating these two teams? Because when you have obviously somebody do something good on offense, it means that it happened against your defense. Where does he look to try and make sure that he gets his pleasure or pain out of when he sees his two teams scrimmage each other on the same field?
Are they correctable errors? Are they correctable situations from a talent standpoint, from a scheme standpoint? And if they are, then that's a good thing. If they're not, then that's kind of where you are. And you got to understand that, and that's probably a weakness of your team. But anyway, there were some contested plays out there today on both sides and plays made on both sides that were, you know, obviously promising for our team. But, you know, we still have a ways to go.
The thing that I found interesting from South Carolina's perspective, Diesel, is the fact that he said that the run game looked better than the pass game, which is not something that we've seen at any point on the field for South Carolina over the last three seasons. And that was, of course, without having Tavian Feaster in the fold. Feaster not practicing with full contact because of problems involving an infected tooth. So he's been dealing with an issue there as a result of that infected tooth. They say that coming up tomorrow, he should be cleared for contact and that he should be able to go full go in the Saturday scrimmage for the first time. Not necessarily progressing the way that I think people would want him to progress, but I think once he gets added to that mix inside that running back room between him, Mon Dense, and Enrico Dattle, combined with that offensive line, I keep saying the word legitimizes. It not only legitimizes that run game, but it basically takes a lot of heat that had been coming Jake Bentley's way off of him.
Well, sure. Again, it's absolutely going to open up the passing game. And the real question is, what is going to be the strength of the SEC defensively this year? Are the teams on South Carolina's schedule, are they built to stop the run, or are they built to stop the pass?
They're more built to stop the pass, especially when you look at Alabama, when you look at Georgia. Georgia has always been known to have very, very good corners. They're probably a little bit, with no DeAndre Baker in the secondary, is not necessarily as strong of a situation for Georgia. But a lot of these other teams, you know, they put up big physical corners and also have big defensive lines, and not necessarily the kind of defensive lines that we're used to seeing in the SEC, more of the athletic type, the type that loves to rush the passer. So if you get some of these guys going upfield and at least be able to run the football enough to keep teams honest, it's going to make South Carolina a much bigger threat to win some of the games that might be considered toss-ups, as opposed to the ones that I think you should possibly think that they could win just based off of their baseline talent. The one thing, too, that I did see from Will Muschamp's perspective that he talked about was the offensive line, and we talked about it earlier during the show yesterday, where he said that the offensive line will continue to progress. And Cydarius Hutcherson continues to be somebody who they look at and they say is a pro-level type lineman, someone maybe off of the mold of a Zach Bailey, that kind of player. He's obviously their left tackle right now. Dylan Wonnum is entrenched at that right tackle position. He hasn't been getting a lot of the love that I think he deserves because he played a lot and played very important snaps as a freshman. And the two interior guards, too, because, you know, people discount the fact that you have a sixth-year senior in Donnell Stanley at left guard. Eric Douglas, according to Will Muschamp yesterday, said that basically he said that Douglas would be the starter at right guard right now. I know a lot of people thought Javon Gwynn was kind of the heir apparent there at that position, somebody who was obviously rising to possibly take that position. But I found that to be interesting that Douglas has actually got the leg up and that they really still like what they have out of Hank Manos. The guy that I think is going to be very interesting to look at, too, though, is a guy who has changed positions from the offensive line to tight end, almost kind of becoming a sixth lineman as a blocking back on the line, Chandler Farrell, because he is somebody who basically they've kind of taken this little area where they've had a couple of tight ends go down with Trey Kenyon. They obviously don't know about the availability of Nick Muse yet, the transfer who is actually the brother of Tanner Muse, who came from William & Mary, and he's waiting now on his appeal from the NCAA for his immediate eligibility to possibly be in school for South Carolina. But they're saying that Farrell could be somebody who can go through some drills and be a part of that team from a blocking back perspective. And the other thing, too, Diesel, is the secondary for South Carolina, so maligned a year ago, having to use true freshmen in big spots that they weren't expecting to, like J.C. Horn, Israel Mukuwamu. Those guys have turned into players you cannot take off the field. And because of that, I think that will at least give South Carolina another weapon when it comes to trying to create pressure. They will not necessarily have to worry about creating pressure with more than four because they're more solid on the outside now than they used to be. But because of that, of course, you know, it obviously is more incumbent on them actually getting to the quarterback from that perspective. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. We'll come back at Frankie's New York Pizza. Non-sports story of the day. I got three choices for you. I'm going to make you play a little door number one, two, or three for the non-sports story of the day. That'll make you smile and smirk. We've got a couple of different options that are very, very juicy when we come back here from Frankie's New York Pizza on ESPN Upstate. All right, so for the non-sports story of the day, they'll make you smile and smirk. I have a choice. Would you want deadbeat mom? Do you want animal cruelty? Or do you want a scandalous sorority?
Ooh, sorority girls. That's most of my browser search history, so let's go with that.
All right, so the sorority Alpha Delta Pi has been suspended from the campus of the University of Central Florida. Apparently, an unhappy member of the sorority emailed complaints to the president of Fraternity and Sorority Life. The member claimed that a photo of her sorority sister naked from the waist down, lying next to a toilet in a bar with something to cover her, thank goodness, was shared in a mass chat on the GroupMe app. Also reported the photo to her chapter president because she couldn't have given consent given how absolutely drunk she was. Also, sisters sold prescription drugs and swapped driver's licenses in order to purchase alcohol. Well, including one message that read, "We'll send nudes and moolah for a blonde ID." There was also, no, not to laugh, this is all, there was also a, quote, serious accident from which the victim who partook in underage drinking was still recovering. According to the letter writer, she said, "I will not stand for this behavior anymore, and it makes me question the entire organization of AD Pi, not to mention how Greek life is conducted at UCF in general." She also complained about the sorority's, quote, "nasty theme song," with the lyrics involving two sexual acts that decorum prohibits us from talking about.
The
here.
Real question is, are they on double secret probation?
No, I think they've been suspended. That's worse.
Oh, see, I mean, this is what sorority and fraternity life is everywhere. Are we surprised? This is nothing new.
I mean, the University of Central Florida, I think we'd have to go to our resident Florida expert, Mark Ryan, to give us a window into the world there. But
if you get thrown out of a Central Florida sorority life, then you're on a whole other level.
That's Florida. Although it's landlocked Florida, it's not beach Florida.
That's leaving early to go pro.
That's not like Dunk City, Florida, or Gainesville, Florida, where there's actually somewhat of a beach ish. Hope you've enjoyed the program so far. We've got one more to play. We're going to hear from Colin Taylor, Gamecock Central, 20 minutes from now. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney next after Clemson's second scrimmage of fall camp, their situational scrimmage that just got done earlier. And we'll continue to recap some of the programming that we've had for you over the course of the day, including the discussion on the pay-for-play in college basketball and college football. You're listening to Straight Up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate, live from Frankie's New York Pizza on ESPN Upstate and ESPNUpstate.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.